6 o'clock, Monty in the morning on 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic. Hey, how are you? Happy Thursday. Why are, I just have said 20 words and Jake is breaking up laughing. What are you laughing about?
Hey!
Hi! Yeah, it's Thursday, week one, Monty in the morning. Three shows in the book, two more to go. How do you feel about our first week, Jake?
The first week has been absolutely phenomenal. It's been huge.
Huge. It has been. Pretty good week, a lot to talk about, and that includes today. We get Thursday night football, baby. Don't forget about that. Saints and Cowboys tonight. That's a 7.5-point number. And the over's 52.5. Yes, I love talking about lines. Yes,
it's
I enjoy it. Oh, I think, I don't know. Can the Cowboys score on that Saints defense? That's something that I think is a real talking point for this Thursday night football game tonight. And mainly, let's not forget, though, that both of these teams are not going to have the typical Thursday night football hangover, because when was the last time both of these teams played? Last Thursday on Thanksgiving. So they've had a full week to prepare for Thursday night football. So they're not doing the Thursday-Sunday split, which is usually death for the road team.
Yep.
In this case, the New Orleans Saints. So there is none of that this week. I love the Saints to cover the 7.5.
Yeah, I like the matchup, though. I mean, I think, you know, going on the road, I think it's going to be – it really balances things out, right? Like, this would be a huge number if this was at home for the Saints. But
oh, it'd be a 10-point number.
Yeah,
if it
would
in,
be big time.
Yeah.
And so I think the matchup couldn't be better. I think last year – what did we all complain about last year? Oh, well, the Thursday night matchups are awful. This is a good matchup on Thursday night, and I think the NFL has done a better job this year with scheduling Thursday night.
Yeah, I agree. I think the primetime games in general have been a lot better. You know, whether it's Packers and Vikings, Bears, Vikings, there have been of late, especially there have been a lot of really good Sunday night and Thursday night games. And I think we needed that in the NFL, frankly. So I'm really looking forward to that. But one of our questions this morning for you is, Arizona the most difficult sports market in the country to be a fan in? I think it is. We were prepping the show last night, just kind of talking through, okay, well, you know, we're going to hit Suns. You know, when we went to bed, the Suns were playing pretty well, and then we woke up and they had gotten torched. You know, they released Isaiah Cannon yesterday, and all of a sudden, you're like, well, now you don't have a point guard at all. And then Eli Okobo comes out and has the game of his life last night, and it looks like he's going to lead that bench mob for the Suns, but the Suns are a franchise history worst, 4-17. This is the worst start in the history of the Phoenix Suns, 4-17. Then you look at the putrid Arizona Cardinals. You look at the news yesterday that Patrick Corbin has now met with the Phillies and the Nationals and is going to meet today with the New York Yankees. You also get the news that Jason Stark is writing for The Atlantic that Paul Goldschmidt is as good as gone. You see where we're going? You get Arizona not bowl eligible. You get Arizona State with Herm Edwards going to a bowl, forks up. And then you get basketball seasons here. Well, Arizona is not even ranked, and they're going through this FBI Book Richardson scandal. You have Arizona State, who I think is ranked 51st, something like that. Arizona State, or no, they got 51 top 25 votes. So they're like, I'm sorry, they're ranked like 30th. They got 51 votes to get into the top 25.
Yeah.
And then we were sitting there asking about what team in Arizona is the closest to winning a championship. And not even because we carry their games and our partners with them, but I think it's GCU basketball is likely the closest to winning the WAC. They would be the next team in line to win a championship. The Yotes have been bad for years. The Suns haven't won in a decade at least. Like, if you are a fan of Arizona sports, you don't have much to hang on to.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great. There's a lot of teams doing a lot of things that aren't real exciting, and I think when we look at, like you were mentioning, the D-backs have actually been relevant the last few seasons. They've been competitive. They've gone to wild card games and things like that, but now we hear the news that it looks like they're in teardown mode with Goldie and Corbin. Yeah, you know.
Now it's all but confirmed.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, you never know what the deal is going to be until they do it. You know, it could be a good deal, it could be a bad deal, but the point is that, you know, until they execute, they still got them on their roster. So we'll see what they decide to do. But my main point is that you have the D-backs who've been relevant. They're tearing it down. The Suns have been awful, and now we have something, you know, maybe a silver lining with Booker and Ayton. Okay, that's cool, I guess. That's fun to watch, at least. You have ASU in the Pac-12, you know, and U of A, obviously. In the Pac-12, like we were talking about yesterday, is just a dumpster fire from, you know, the commissioner side of things. You know, nobody in the playoff, 1-8 in bowl season last year as a conference. Like,
yeah.
So football's not great. You have the Cardinals, who are awful, as it's been well documented. So there's really not a lot to hold on to, like you were saying. And, you know, you brought up our conversation last night, and I couldn't help but thinking to myself, well, maybe that's why events, one-off events, are so popular in Arizona, right? You think about the big events that we have here. I brought up the Waste Management Open that happens every year.
Yeah.
It's a massive event in this town. You know, and is that why? Is that why it's so big? I don't know, but I just couldn't help but thinking, well, if the sports in the town is rough, right, and fans are burned out and they're not excited about the Suns or whatever season it is, well, maybe that's why they're doing these one-offs.
Yeah, certainly could be. Your thoughts are welcome. 888-368-1580. 888-368-1580 to hit us on the Fanatic text line. Please text responsibly if you're out there this morning. Heathen Hammer says Phoenix Rising are the next team to win a championship. I don't disagree with that. I'm really bummed. I never did get to see Didier Drogba live. I'm a huge Chelsea football fan. And I saw him two times in person when he was at Chelsea, but I have not gotten to a Rising game, and I really need to change that. I guess the Phoenix Rising. Do you consider the Phoenix Rising to be on par with the Suns?
Well, listen, I think if GCU's in the conversation, then I think the Rising have to be, right? Like, if we're going to encompass
not
all...
Not necessarily.
If we're going to encompass everybody, then, yeah, I mean, the text was right. I think Phoenix Rising has to be in the conversation, for sure. Although they are not in the MLS, so...
And that's the thing. You are almost... I really respect what the Rising have done, and I'm trying not to be a jerk about it. But I don't know that the Phoenix Rising are on par with the Diamondbacks, the Suns, the Yotes, the Cardinals, GCU, ASU, Arizona. Because all of those teams compete at the highest level in their given genre. So in football, basketball, baseball, hockey, obviously, we have the four majors here. But you have GCU, Arizona, and Arizona State that are all competing at the top of their sports, in the top tier of their sport.
Correct.
In college. So that's the problem. Okay, so the Phoenix Rising are not in MLS, and I think that's an issue. So I think the issue really in the broader picture is, well, yeah, we got to talk about the Phoenix Rising because sports here is not good. That's the biggest issue. And as long as I can remember being in Arizona, I've never felt like the Diamondbacks were going to win the World Series. You know, 2 years ago, when we were at the wild card game, it was amazing that it was not sold out. I mean, the atmosphere was great and all that, I get it. But just, I remember that night standing in center field thinking to myself, really?
Yeah.
The upper deck is got massive areas of empty seats.
Yes.
That was really disappointing. You know, so... I just wonder, is it because there's so many transient people here, because so many people are coming from California, so many people are coming from everywhere around the country to live in Arizona, that maybe there's the passion for local franchises is not what it should be or would be in another market? I don't know.
Maybe is it the location? We've talked about that a lot. Maybe if what would the Yotes be? What would the Yotes fan base be like, you know, if they were in Scottsdale? You know?
Oh, I think they'd have twice the support that they have now.
Right? Right? So that would mean, what would that mean in the big picture? Well, that would mean more fans at every game,
yes,
which is more revenue,
yep,
which is a bigger ability to put back into your facility, which is a recruiting tactic to get the best,
I agree
the best
with that,
free agents.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, so I mean, if locationally, it's huge. And I think when we talk about, okay, well, where could the Yotes go? Well, they could either go to Scottsdale somewhere. They could share an arena downtown. Like, it's been well documented their options. So you look at that. But the other question we had brought up last night is, well, if the local teams aren't what we're passionate about, are you willing to hold season tickets for, let's say, the Rams in California? Or Dallas Cowboys?
I know several people who are Dallas Cowboys season ticket holders that live here full time. I know several. I know one guy that's a Green Bay Packers season ticket holder who tries to get back for a minimum of 5 games a year and then sells the other tickets he can't get back for. So I know that for a fact. I know, believe it or not, I know season ticket holders for the Chicago Cubs that live here. You know, that sell their tickets and they go to 20 games a year. So that's absolutely the case. Absolutely the case. And when the Rams open their new stadium, I have no doubt in my mind that there will be Rams season ticket holders who live here and not there, because you're going to make a killing. I'd consider buying Rams season tickets. I would. They're a great team to watch. You know, I have family in Los Angeles. I have a place to stay every Sunday. Now, I work nationally at ESPN most weekends, so I don't know that it's practical for me to be a season ticket holder of the Rams, but I would absolutely do it. I would never support the Arizona Cardinals with a season ticket investment. I just think the organization, and this is the other part of this that's a problem, and this is the Diamondbacks right now. The Arizona Cardinals are not doing everything they can do to win. The Cardinals show me on a week-in, week-out basis, on an off-season basis, on a everything they do. The Arizona Cardinals tell me they're trying to make money. They're not trying to win. And the Diamondbacks, I'm kind of split on this with the Diamondbacks because I don't believe that the D-backs are doing everything they can do to win, but I don't think they're in the position to do that. The Cardinals have zero excuses. They have, you know, State Farm Stadium is a beautiful place to play a football game. Fans don't have any problem going out to Glendale once a week. They're not in the same situation that the Yotes are in. There's no excuse for the Arizona Cardinals to suck this bad, frankly.
Agreed.
No excuse. For the Diamondbacks, they've got a major stadium revenue problem. Okay, how about the fact that the Diamondbacks announced Billy Joel is going to be their first major concert at Chase Field?
And this goes all the way back to, what, a year and a half ago when they were fighting for the rights to control all of that in their stadium.
Yes.
And so this has been kind of a journey.
The lawsuit with the county.
Yeah, this has been kind of a journey for the D-backs. And I think yesterday, you know, we're sitting around after the show, and you're like, whoa, Billy Joel at Chase.
I was really excited about that.
I was like, you going to the Billy Joel concert there, bud?
I would. But then you reach out to the Diamondbacks, and they're like, yeah, there's nobody available to talk about it.
Oh.
And it's like, come on, man. You know, like, help me help you. Help me help you. You know, like, anyway, point is, the Diamondbacks now, you can see that they're doing everything they can to make money so that they can do everything they can do to win. And now that they have control of Chase, you're starting to see them book events. You're starting to see them. I'd love to see wrestling. I'd love to see, like, every major concert. I get it that State Farm Stadium is a great place for a stadium tour. But why would you book a stadium tour in Glendale when you can book a stadium tour in downtown Phoenix? Like, Chase Field is a very good concert venue. I don't know why you would do that. I can't remember who just booked. Garth Brooks, I think it was. Was it Garth Brooks that booked State Farm Stadium? I believe it is.
I believe it is, yeah.
But how is that not at Chase Field? You know, like, that's the kind of thing that has always blown my mind, and now the Diamondbacks are trying to change that. But the Cardinals are not doing everything they can do to win. I believe that Arizona State is. Absolutely. Arizona State's doing everything they can do to win. You have put so much money into Sun Devil Stadium, and it's beautiful. And one, it's 100% done because it's not 100% done. It's going to be amazing. Is Herm Edwards the coach that's going to lead you to your Pac-12 championship? I don't know. I have no idea. This is a critical time for Herm in ASU because now Herm's got to go out and recruit his own guys because these guys, Manny Wilkins is not his quarterback. You know, and now Manny's gone. N'Keal Harry's gone. Now you have to replace those guys, and you're responsible for the depth and the talent on the field. That's when you always prove your mettle. It's not easy to win in college football, but it is easier to go in and reinvigorate a group of players that are not yours because you're a new voice, you're fresh energy. They're going to work hard for you. They're going to try and prove themselves for you, and you got that. And Herm had a nice year. He beat Arizona, going to a bowl game, money, right? Now he's got to do with his guys. Kevin Sumlin, I think, has a much tougher hill to climb. A much tougher hill to climb in Tucson.
Yeah, I would completely agree. I think ASU is doing everything, but I think when you talk about, or when we talk about that, the big picture with the Pac-12, it limits ASU on some level.
Boy, and John Canzano with the Oregonian put out part two of his four-part series on what a crappy commissioner Larry Scott is of the Pac-12. And this was all about the replay debacle. You should read it. It's on my Twitter feed, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show is where you find me on Twitter. You can find Jake at 1580 Jake. Yeah, we got to pump up your Twitter following. Dude, what do you have, 145 guys on Twitter?
Maybe.
Come on.
I'm working on it.
You are tweeting more. Oh, I'm sorry. You have 148.
Thank you.
So you picked up three.
Thank you.
Funny what happens when you tweet a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, will you learn when a hashtag is?
No.
You're terrible about hashtags. And you've done better. You've done better. Follow Jake, 1580 Jake, only after you follow me, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. You can also hit us on the Fanatic text line this morning, 888-368-1580. Monty in the Morning is the name of this show. You know, we're a new show here at 1580 The Fanatic. Well, a new old show. We were here. They fired our asses and then immediately regretted it. So they brought us back. And now we're back. We appreciate you listening to the show. The response has been amazing. You guys have been fantastic in texting us and tweeting us. We do a lot of Twitter business on this show. You can always watch the show live on Facebook Live. Just find 1580 The Fanatic is where you do that. And I'd really encourage you to download the 1580 The Fanatic app. Wherever you get your apps, it's just so easy to use. All you have to do is search 1580 The Fanatic. Like, I have an iPhone. So go to the iTunes Store or the iTunes App Store. Thank you, the Apple App Store. Search 1580 The Fanatic. It pops right up. It takes less than 30 seconds to download the app. You just click on the app. It opens and starts playing the station. It really is that simple. It is so easy. And it'll play in the background. It doesn't suck your battery up. It's really cool. The 1580 The Fanatic app. You can also, by the way, you know, view our website through it. You can look at my beautiful, you know, like statuesque figure because my picture is in the app as well.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah, don't show your wife because you'll wind up getting divorced, even though I am spoken for. But you know just how that hugely hot male-looking thing does for women. Anyway, the point is, Jake says I'm being awkward now. I'm not. Download the 1580 The Fanatic app. Let's come back and talk about the Suns. Was a new star born last night for the Phoenix Suns? I think he was. I'll tell you who, how, and why next. Monty in the Morning on 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic, CBS Sports Radio. Monty in the Morning on 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic, Arizona's new home for sports. Good Thursday to you, friends. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Our question of the morning this morning, is Arizona the most difficult market to be a sports fan in? If you are the one single person, because I think there's only one that's actually from Arizona who lives here, it seems like every day I meet somebody who does not live here. I know clearly there are hundreds of thousands of people who are native to Arizona. I get it. But the point is, there's so many transient sports fans here, and the local teams are just not very good. And I think a lot of the local teams are not trying to be very good. Now I think the Yotes are on a different level. They are trying to win. They haven't tried to win in a very long time. The Suns last night lose 115-99. They're off to a franchise worst, a historically bad 4-17 start. It is their worst start ever. Ever. They look tired in the second half off of a back-to-back. Devin Booker had 23 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 of 6 from 3. But I think the story last night, Jake, was midday you cut Isaiah Cannon. Not a surprising move. Not a difference maker. And now we understand why they did that, because they wanted Eli Okobo to get a bigger run, to get a bigger shot. And boy, did he come through last night. Okobo had 19 points, 4 dimes, 3 steals, and was 3 of 5 from 3. And I thought he was the best player on the floor for the Suns last night when he was on the floor.
Yeah, you know, he looked good. And the thing that was interesting about it is he came right out, took an open 3, missed it, and then seemingly didn't miss another shot the rest of the way. And I thought it was
unbelievable.
Awesome. I mean, it was really good. I mean, he missed other shots, but the point is that he looked really good. And I think at the end of the day, the question for the Suns with Okobo is he going to be a six-man kind of guy, or can he kind of, you know, develop into a guy that can give you 30, 35 minutes a night? I'm not saying that's going to happen a week from now, but what I am saying is this guy can score. So can you get him on the floor and allow him to be productive for you in long form rather than just in short form?
Well, and how much is too much? Because here's what I know about the Suns right now. Devin Booker being the trigger on the offense is not working. I think it is taking away from his overall efficiency. I think it is hurting his ability to freelance, because he's got to bring the ball up. He's got to make the right pass. He's got to think about 1,000 other things other than shooting the 3 and dunking the ball. And truth be told about Devin Booker, he is on the verge of being a superstar. I do not believe that Book is a superstar right now, and I know Jake and I disagree on this. I don't think he's a superstar yet. I think he is absolutely the purest shooter in the NBA. I have no question about that. That when he is shooting well, he is Steph Curry. He is all of those guys. Devin Booker is. But I think now they've asked him to do something that, A, he is very capable of doing, but B, takes away from his overall game. And that's run the point.
Well, and I think you're seeing why LeBron James is such a dynamic player in the NBA, because LeBron does this all the time. He's doing it now with the Lakers. We do see LeBron run point for the Lakers. We saw it in Cleveland. We saw it in Miami, and we saw it in Cleveland before that. And so I just think, you know, this is a new challenge for Devin Booker, and I'm sure that's how he's viewing it. But at the same time, I agree with you. Devin Booker's only responsibility on this team should be, number one, to be the leader on the team, to be the best overall player on the team, the go-to guy,
sure,
the Mamba mentality, right? But secondly, his job is to score. His job is to get to those, you know, get to the ball and then make special plays when the Suns' offense inevitably breaks down every fifth possession. That's what he should be doing, but right now he's doing this point book thing that they're asking him to do, which is bring the ball up, make a lot of different decisions.
And I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good, and I completely agree. It slows the Suns' offense down because you're essentially taking away a playmaker out of their offense, because Devin Booker is the playmaker. So he's giving it up to somebody else. He's going to the other side of the floor, and then they're running the set. And I think it's just a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how you fix it either, because you're not going to start Eli Okobo. He's just not – Okobo's not yet. He's not there. And if you look at the Suns, what this does by cutting Cannon is this does form this very clear second unit, which every NBA team needs. You now have this line between the starting five of – Ariza, who I don't think is going to be here long, and then your core guys who are Warren, Ayton, and Booker. And Bridges to a lesser extent. I don't know what to make a Bridges at this point.
I like him from an effort standpoint. I think he's always giving you everything he's got. That's one thing I really like, because what have we seen out of Josh Jackson, another allegedly key guy on this team? At times, not all the time, but at times there's been a lack of effort. There's been some questionable moments on the floor. Bridges, on the other hand, may not give you the defensive prowess that Jackson has. He may not even give you the offensive game. But he's giving you all the effort. He's getting in the dirty areas. And I think you really need a guy like that on the team. So I like him.
Damn. I should just turn my phone off.
Why?
Mitchell Trubisky will not play this week for my Bears. Chase Daniel is starting again for the Bears. Boy, that's disappointing. Because now you're starting to believe, why are you
laughing?
Bro,
that is rough. That is seriously rough. He comes out yesterday, Trubisky comes out to practice. And by the way, it should be said, Nagy didn't think he was going to practice, right?
Right.
Trubisky comes out onto the field, swagging, we get it. And what does he do? Doesn't throw a football, just works
Not
on
one
the footwork.
Throw. Yeah.
Just works on the footwork, and I can respect it. But again, if you're the Bears, how long is too long for Trubisky, right? Obviously, you don't want to rush him back because it is his right shoulder, right? So you got to take care
of
that.
And it's an AC joint sprain. And for those of you who don't know, it's just that little piece of cartilage that sits between your collarbone and your shoulder joint. And
yeah, it's essentially an injury that is going to be really annoying and you have to be really patient with.
Boy, that's frustrating.
It's tough. It's absolutely tough. But I felt like Chase Daniel got the job done. He got the job done. Not great. Certainly not Trubisky level, but he can get the job done.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll stop. We'll talk more Mitchell and the Chicago Bears.
Hall of Fame 2031.
Coming up in 20 minutes. Football at 50, 10 in the hour, every hour. We give you the biggest stories in football. But talking about the Suns, I think Bridges is a project. Obviously, he's a rookie. Although, I think he's older. If memory serves, he's like 22, 23. A Villanova product, so you like that. So you're going to be patient with him, and you'd hope that you see a big second-year jump out of him, a la Josh Hart with the Lakers. So you're going to be patient with him. But right now, if you look at the Suns bench mob, you know, you have Josh Jackson, Elliot Kobo, Jamal Crawford, who I think has been a nice addition to this team. His
Agreed.
Leadership has been raved about. And then Rashawn Holmes, who is an athlete. Now, the Sixers gave up on him, but he's an athlete who is a willing defender. So you like that. And he can score a little bit. He gave you 10 points last night on 4-6 shooting. So you like that. He gives you 4 steals, 2 blocks. So you have a group of 3-4 guys who you can count on night in and night out to contribute off the bench. And I think that's really important. But not to be redundant, and I know I've talked about this every day this week, but this necessitates the Markel Fultz trade. Like, I think if you can make the Markel Fultz trade, if you can bring him to the Suns, and if you can if you can find a way, and whether it's Markel Fultz that you end up with, and hear that clearly, you just need to be part of the Markel Fultz trade. I'd love to see Markel Fultz come here and be involved in what the Suns are building, because I think it gives him the perfect avenue to, whether there's a shoulder injury or not, and I'm not sure there is, but if there's a shoulder injury, and if it is true, for those of you who didn't hear this, that Markel Fultz fell off a motorcycle and injured his shoulder, because there's a lot of talk about that. When we're talking Phoenix Suns here on Monty in the Morning, I would love to have Markel Fultz be part of the program with the Suns.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think there's a lot of people who simply look at the surface on when it comes to Fultz, and they're like, well, his jump shot's awful. Like, he didn't do anything in college, really.
And everybody's talking about this wrist injury. Every basketball player's had a sore wrist.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
Yeah,
right?
I completely agree. The wrist thing doesn't really bother me that much. I think he's more just – I think Fultz kind of used that as kind of the linchpin to get him off the floor and to really just say, hey, look, I think it's probably time to move.
And they're supposed to have an answer on his shoulder today. He hasn't played because he's been seeing a roster of shoulder specialists. So Dan Favale of Bleacher Report actually put together a group of the best trades involving Markelle Fultz, and the Suns are involved in two of the biggest ones. Okay, he's got these two trades that I like a lot. Okay, a four-team blockbuster deal that involves the Sixers, Knicks, Suns, and Jazz. Okay, the Suns would wind up with Ricky Rubio. Boy, I like that a lot. Tricky
yeah.
Ricky has turned himself into, I think, probably a top seven point guard in the NBA.
What were we just saying? Devin Booker's limited, bringing the ball up.
Yes.
Ricky Rubio fills that role, puts Devin Booker back in the correct position.
Fantastic driving kick point guard.
And I want to be clear, I would rather have Rubio than Fultz, just to be clear.
Oh, absolutely. No question. That's why I said I love this deal. Suns end up with Ricky Rubio. Sixers end up with Trevor Ariza. Grayson Allen, who is way, and I mean deep, deep, deep in the Quinn Snyder doghouse in Utah. They get Dotson and Emmanuel Mudiay as well. The Knicks end up with Troy Daniels, Markelle Fultz, Furkan Korkmaz, and Mike Muscala, as well as a second-round pick from Utah. And the Jazz get Tim Hardaway Jr. and Justin Patton.
Boy, I like that deal.
Perfect trade.
I like that deal for the Suns.
Does not set you back. Does not lose you draft picks.
Sets you back. That sets you forward.
Yeah, and it gives you another weapon offensively. It's a smart trade, which means the Suns probably won't do that deal. Sorry, I shouldn't really probably be a jerk. How about
Inner
the,
me just came out.
Yeah, me to me. How about the Sixers, Suns, and Wizards in a Markelle Fultz deal? In this deal, Markelle does wind up in the Valley of the Sun. Suns get Fultz and Thomas Bryant. Don't like that nearly as much. Sixers get Bradley Beal and Kelly Oubre Jr. And the Wiz wind up with Wilson Chandler, Josh Jackson, cha-ching, and this is the one that hurts, Elia Kobo, Zaire Smith in a 2019 first-round pick and a 2019 second-round pick.
The Sixers win that all day.
Well,
all
when you end
day.
Up with Bradley Beal and Kelly Oubre Jr.
All day.
Yeah, I think you do. I think you do. But they give up two draft picks as well.
Yeah, so overall, though, these are a couple of nice trade packages that the Suns could get involved with. I'm with you, though. I like the first alternative. I think that trade sets them forward. You know, Hardaway coming to the Suns would be awesome. Absolutely what they need. Because if you think about the setup then.
No, Rubio coming to the Suns.
Yeah, but there was the other one as well, right, where you had Hardaway?
No, Hardaway ends up with – where is that? Hardaway ends up with the Jazz with Justin Patton. Suns get Rubio. Knicks get Daniels, Fultz, Korkmaz, and Muscala. And the Sixers get Ariza, Grayson Allen, and Damian Dotson, along with Emmanuel Mudiay.
Okay, well, still, I really like that. I think Rubio bringing the ball up. And you and I particularly watch a lot of Jazz basketball. I think he does a great job facilitating for Suns fans who haven't seen a lot of Ricky Rubio over the years. Not a great shooter. That's not really his game. He'll shoot it when he needs to, but that's not really what he's looking to do.
He shoots it well enough.
Yeah, but that's not exactly what he's looking to do.
But you don't need him to shoot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, and that's what I was going to say. You don't need him to shoot. The point here is that he's the guy you need because he can get it to Devin Booker, who can then do what he needs to do, whether that is give it to Ayton or score it or whatever it
Correct.
May be.
Correct. 888-368-1580. Where are you at on Markelle Fultz to the Suns? Would you welcome that? Do you feel like that's something a positive moving in the right direction? 888-368-1580 is the number to hit us on the Fanatic text line. Yes, you can also call that number. That will do two things. That will force you to talk to Jake, which, okay, look, we all got to compromise on some level, but it'll also get you on the show if you'd like to call in and talk Suns or answer the question of the day, which is Arizona the most difficult fan market in the country? So if you are a fan, is this the most difficult market to live in? My guy Stephen Woods in San Diego says, hell no. Nah. Stephen Woods says, no, San Diego, miles above. He says, Arizona has four majors. The D-backs already have a title. This, San Diego, is a sports wasteland.
Excellent point.
Yeah, San Diego is not a great sports town, is it?
Excellent point.
But don't you by then, by default, unfortunately, if you are in San Diego, do you not adopt, well, you're never going to be a Charger fan again because the San Diego Chargers of Los Angeles who play in a soccer stadium, that's a T-shirt. The San Diego Chargers of Los Angeles who play in a soccer stadium are probably owned by the biggest D-bags in the world named Spanos. So you are never going to adopt or support those liars again. So then don't you by default become an LA Rams fan? I think you probably do.
Prefer to win.
Yeah, you prefer to win. I agree, Coach. I agree. But then also by default, don't you also become, man, do I even say this out loud, a Laker fan in San Diego? I think you do. Clippers used to play in San Diego. Interesting. Is Arizona the most difficult market in the country to be a sports fan in? 888-368-1580. Coming back, big breaking news on your, my, our, and we, the Chicago Bears. We'll talk about that as part of football. At 50, the Saints are 7.5-point favorites tonight. Should you bet the spread? I'll tell you why you probably should. Next, Monty in the Morning on 1580 and 99.3, the Fanatic, CBS Sports Radio. Monty in the Morning. 1580-99.3, the Fanatic, Arizona's new home for sports. The biggest stories in sports this morning, because Jake no longer wants to do the news, because we don't have some, like, big pre-produced open for the news update, so Jake won't do it. He said it's a union rule. Okay. Biggest stories in sports this morning, Suns lose 115-99. They are now 4-17 on the season. The worst start in franchise history, 4-17. Heavy rumors linking the Suns to Markelle Fultz. Do you want that? By the way, should the Suns be tanking for Zion Williamson? No. The answer is no. Jake, why shouldn't the Suns be tanking for Zion Williamson?
Because they should be tanking for RJ Barrett.
Thank you. And I know that everybody got on me yesterday about saying this, but Zion Williamson...
That's neat that you lift weights, bud, but you're going to have to get that jump shot in form, and you're going to have to learn how to play at speed.
Yeah, he's a guy that you need to do more than windmill dunk in college.
The reason he's successful in the college game, and people, I don't think, understand this right now. The reason he's successful in the college game is because he's physically just bigger and stronger than everybody.
Correct.
He is physically the same size and same strength as most NBA players. So, when you look at the performances against the Zags the other night or any other team they've played.
It's Gonzaga, please.
Okay, sorry. Gonzaga. Listen, he dominated them. Duke lost that game, so yes. Duke is not Duke anymore.
Duke is no longer Duke.
But if he goes to the NBA, I don't know that the first 20 games are probably going to be his best 20 he's ever played.
He will be Blake Griffin-esque, in my opinion. I think his jump shot technique is going to have to get significantly better.
What do you make of the Julius Randle comparison?
Hey, it's a very good comparison. And Julius has really worked on his game. And Zion is going to have to slim down. He is going to have to get himself in much better shape. He's going to have to, really maximize his physical potential, because the way he plays the game, he will be oft injured. In the NBA. He's 6'7", and he's got to be 300 pounds. Zion Williamson. So I think he's going to have to slim that down some. His numbers are great. You'd love to see him average a double-double. He does not. He's 21-9. Yeah, they list him at 285. 6'7", 285.
That's LeBron-esque when he was in Miami.
Yeah, he's got to be three bills.
That's what I'm saying. That's what LeBron was when he was in Miami. Like, that's the kind of strength you're talking about.
Yeah, that's not abnormal in the NBA. It's why he's dominating college. I agree with that. I think RJ Barrett's the better fit, by the way, for your Phoenix Suns. And on the ball, I think he's fantastic. By comparison, he's 6'7", probably 210, RJ Barrett.
Yep.
So, and he doesn't shoot the three as well. He's only like a 34% three-point shooter. But R.J. Barrett's game works with the Suns. So, Suns are off tonight. They play Orlando downtown tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tip. Make sure you're on hand for that. And then there's Thursday Night Football tonight. Football 50 in 3 minutes with a major update on Mitch Trubisky. Stick around for that. Saints are a 7.5-point favorite. The number's 52.5 in that game. I think that the Saints will cover that 7.5 all day. I am not a Dallas Cowboy believer. I'm not. I think Dak is a good player. I don't think that Dak is all that ails the Dallas Cowboys, certainly. But he is part of the problem. He does not complete the passes he's supposed to complete. I think that's part of it. And I think he holds the football too long.
Do you think the Saints are able to hang a 40 spot tonight on the Cowboys? Because I think if they're gonna go over, what was it, 52?
52, right? And a half.
If you're gonna score 53 points in this game combined, the Saints got to at least score, what, 35 of that at least?
Yeah, I don't have any doubt. It's not that the Cowboys don't score points. That's not my issue at all. And I think the Saints are capable of putting 40 on any defense in the NFL. And I also think the issue is that the Saints are very well rested, which is going to be another problem. But when I look at the best offenses in the NFL, the Saints are really close to the Rams. 1-2. If you take out that slugfest against the Chiefs, the Saints are the number one offense in the NFL. But you can't do it that way. The Dallas Cowboys are 19th in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. And you look at the difference in the way the Saints and the Cowboys play, the Cowboys have to run the football effectively to win. The Saints do not. Kamara's a wonderful two-way weapon, can catch the ball, can run the ball. I really like the way they use Ingram to offset Kamara a little bit. They can put him on the field at the same time.
You know what the Saints do so well? They know how to use the skill sets of Kamara compared to Ingram and dominate the ground game and even just the West Coast style of play, right? That's what we want the Bears to do. That's what you and I have been saying. So, I think the Saints are phenomenal at this point.
Yeah, I think they cover that. And the other thing that I think has gotten vastly overlooked about the Cowboys is that their defense is not great. I don't love their defense at all in Dallas. And I know that their metrics say that they're a top half NFL team. I don't love them. I don't like that they don't tackle well. The Dallas Cowboys, in my opinion, are one of those teams that if they play fundamental football, okay, they're fine. But they tackle bottom probably 10 in the NFL, which is not good. And it's not good that they don't tackle well because they have a middle-of-the-pack pass rush. Now, DeMarcus Lawrence is fantastic. He is a really good player. But there's also, in my opinion, one other reason that you have to bet the Saints 7.5. I'll tell you what that is right now on Football at 50.
Every hour, 10 till the hour, it's Football at 50.
Let's talk football.
Let's talk football.
Ready? Break. On 1580 AM and 99.3 FM, The Fanatic. Arizona's football station.
Yeah, Football at 50, 10 of the hour. Every hour we have the biggest stories in college and pro football for you on Monty in the Morning. Right here on 1580 and 99.3, The Fanatic. Yeah, I think the biggest issue and the biggest reason you got to bet the Saints tonight at -7 or 52.5. I like the spread much more than I like the number in this game, by the way. I would not bet the over in this game. I'd much more bet the 7.5. And that's because the Saints defense is the most underrated defense in the NFL. Their pass rush, their run defense, they're a top five run defense. They're a top five pass rush defense. The New Orleans Saints are the best tackling team in the NFL. Like every metric that you look at in football on defense, the Saints are the superior team and one of the superior defenses in the NFL, and nobody talks about them. People want to talk about when it comes to defense, who's everybody talk about? The Bears.
The Rams.
The Patriots, the Texans, the Vikings, the Rams. Although Ndamukong Suh has been a huge disappointment for the Rams. But the Rams are still very good, and they're going to get to lead back next week, I think, which will make them even better. So, yeah, I think the Rams are really good. But the Saints, In my opinion, the Saints are a top five defense in this league.
And the thing about that is early in the year, their pass defense was not good. They're improving. They've gotten better. They've worked on it and gotten to a point where now you can say, yeah, their total defense is excellent, and you're going to have a tough time scoring points on them.
Well, they're just – Jordan, who's from Chandler, by the way
– see him all the time.
Yeah, I really like what Cam Jordan brings. He's now a captain. Jake and I see him at Whole Foods in North Scottsdale on a regular basis during the off season. He's a large human. Which is why he's a good professional football player. but I love what Cam Jordan brings to them. I love the Saints. Bet the 7.5. If you're going to bet this game, bet the 7.5. Don't bet the 52.5. And if you got big onions and tons of cash to throw away, bet them both. What do you want from me?
You know.
And then the breaking news out of Chicago that's not good. Mitchell Trubisky was able to go through the walkthrough yesterday, but he will not play on Sunday, which is a bummer. Mike Garofolo from NFL Media, which is to say NFL Network, reports the Bears plan to start Chase Daniel at the Giants on Sunday. I get it. They're way better than the Giants.
I like it. I like the choice. Give him another week.
Yeah, I don't love the choice. That's problematic. I think Trubisky needs every rep that he can get. He's grown so much. The last three games that he's played, Bills, Lions, Vikes, he's grown so much.
And the Vikings' performance was excellent,
yes,
without a doubt.
And now all of a sudden he hasn't played in 2 weeks, which is a real problem for the Bears. Because when Trubisky plays, they're a much better offense. And, hey, look, I'm not taking anything away from Chase Daniel. I thought what he did a week ago today was phenomenal.
But that's what I'm saying. You look at the matchup with the Giants, specifically with the Giants. They should be able to handle the Giants. And I get what you're saying about Trubisky needs every rep that he can get. But all I'm saying is I want that shoulder, that AC joint, to be healthy as it can possibly be. I don't want this to be an injury that lingers on.
Yep.
So I commend them for not rushing him back. I think that's the right choice. But if you're going to play a better team and he can go, then he needs to play.
Yeah, and I agree with you. The Giants defense, by the way, is not good. They're all of their metrics are in the bottom five teams defensively in the league, which, you know, obviously I think the Bears should be able to win this game. But it's concerning that we went from the narrative was, well, if the Bears weren't turning from Sunday night football to Thursday morning football, because remember they played the early game on Thanksgiving.
So rough.
85 hours in between kicks. If they had not played and they were playing on Sunday, Mitchell would have been able to go for the Bears. Now all of a sudden it's not even that he didn't go then, it's that he's not going now. So is the shoulder issue a larger issue than we're being led to believe? Well, it could be, because you never believe what you see on an NFL injury report. Like, so that's my only concern. I'm not worried about beating the Giants at all.
Do you think it goes the other way, though, too? Like, because you were just saying, well, maybe it's a bigger deal than they're leading on, or maybe the other way, maybe they're just resting him. It could be both. I'm not saying you're wrong, but there's two ways they could be playing this.
Well, ask me a week from Sunday night when they play the Rams at Soldier Field.
He better be playing that.
He better be ready for that game. Because the way this offense has gone so far, with as much as the Bears have struggled to run the ball, and trust me, they have struggled to run the ball. I don't know what you do with Jordan Howard, because you don't know how to use him. And in Chicago, they're writing Jordan Howard off. I think he's better than that.
Which is amazing to me.
Yeah, I think he's better than that. And I think Matt Nagy's system is just a little awkward for Howard. But you need him. Because Tarik Cohen's not a guy that you can just hand the football to and be like, oh, yeah, we're going to be fine. It doesn't work that way. And finally, Eric Reed, late of the 49ers, now of the Carolina Panthers, suing the NFL for collusion. He's been with the Panthers 8 weeks. He's been tested 5 times. In a process that is supposed to be random, Eric Reed is accusing the NFL of rigging the drug testing system, which, by the way, for those of you who don't know, the NFL does not control or oversee the drug testing program. There is an independent third party who does not work for the players or the NFL specifically. They are just tasked with testing, selecting randomly and testing NFL players. They've tested Eric Reed 5 times in 8 weeks. I don't believe that it's random, but I don't believe the NFL's like, hey, let's get this Eric Reed guy out of here. Let's get him out of here. I don't believe that's the situation. 888-368-1580, 888-368-1580. That's the number to text the Monty in the Morning Show. Here's a simple question. Is Arizona the most difficult market in the country to be a sports fan in? Coming back, I'm going to make a pretty compelling argument that, yeah, I think it is. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Monty in the Morning, 1580-99.3 The Fanatic.